Ari Rosenbaum here with another fun-filled episode of that 401k podcast. This week, we're going to talk about 401k topics that plan providers are going to have to deal with today. We're 2021, obviously some of the situations I see prop up from time to time. So some timely advice from yours truly. As far as events, this month in February, we're going to I'm taking care of some situations. We'll start again with that 401k virtual bunch in March, as well as talk about other virtual conferences and, of course, hopefully live conferences. Again, the plan is to return to a live event on Friday, June 11th in Minneapolis. We will see how it goes. We're still playing it by ear. We'll probably have to make a decision sometime within the next month of whether we're going to hold it or not. Major League Baseball has decided that they are going to have the season start on time. Well, actually, it was the Major League Baseball Players Association. We'll see what happens as far as June. June may be a little too aggressive. More likely, that may get pushed back. And, we're probably going to have to start rescheduling events that were from last year for the summer. St. Louis, Houston. And, of course, the hope is Las Vegas in December. And, of course, that 401k virtual bunch for 2022, that schedule is up. You can sign up for $20.22 and be a part of next year's annual event. We, again, decided to do it virtually. And one of the reasons is something that I'll discuss today is some of the topics that plan providers should certainly consider with what's going on in the world today. Always go to that 401ksite.com for further information about all the events that are being planned. And again, sign up for that 401k National Virtual Conference in 2022. You can sign up today for $20.22. And of course, like with this year's event, you miss it. You miss the early bird. You're going to pay a little bit extra. So sign up today. So let's get back to the topic. The first things first, the micro plan market. I always talk to plan providers, and that's always an interesting issue, the micro plan market. It can be very rewarding, but it will always amount to a lot of work for very little gain in the get-go. It's hard as an advisor or TPA to make money on a plan that has zero assets. And I think any plan provider really has to decide whether they want to be involved in the micro plan market in the first place. There are a lot of providers out there who say, I don't want to be part of the micro plan space. I get it. Years ago, I knew the head of a TPA. I actually he's now retired and has since defriended me on Facebook. But he's somebody I'd worked with at one TPA at CBiz. He moved over to another TPA. I always called him Dr. No. And the reason was Dr. No was I'd bring some situation to him. I was an arrest attorney on my own. And, he would say no. And one of the no things was when I talked to him about multiple employer plans. I had done a presentation about retirement plans. I saw him at Schwab Impact many years ago when I spoke, when they allowed me to speak at these national events. That's a joke, or is it? I don't know. But we were talking about multiple employer plans, and he had zero interest. And he said, I want clients that pay my bills. That doesn't really mean that MEP adopting employers don't pay bills, but, it was his, honesty that this was a part of the market that he didn't want to play in, and that's fine. Plan providers who, refer micro plans to other plan providers, such as an advisor referring a micro plan to a TPA, it reminds me of the old New York Lotto commercial, which is all you need is a dollar and a dream. They're always touting these micro plan opportunities, like Gene Okerlund or Vince McMahon would do for the monthly WWF show at Madison Square Garden. You know, the fact about microplans is, yes, there are a lot of medium-sized plans and large plans that were formerly microplans. But the problem is, I've seen in situations is most opportunities in the microplan market don't pan out even years after servicing them. That doesn't mean that a plan provider should ignore the microplan market, but, you know, they need to be very cautious in pricing. You know, providers need to price these opportunities, these microplan opportunities, kind of like, you know, with Goldilocks, not too low or too high, but just right. And I've seen too many plan providers cannibalize their own business by pricing these microplans too low. They got talked into it by another plan provider. Oh, why can't you provide it to me? Why can't you provide it to me at a lower rate? And these providers, by lowering the prices on the microplans, really just go through the whole problem, in my opinion, of cannibalizing their own business. You know, I was on a call with a financial advisor just a few weeks back, and they asked about flat fee billing for small plans. I warned them that too high of a minimum could be an issue, especially if the minimum was more than 100 basis points. You know, these days, no advisor makes 100 basis points. And, you know, pricing that opportunity, I just thought that was just really a bad idea. You know, I think the most important thing to realize is that the microplan market can be very rewarding, but it can be very risky. And you strike out a lot, you hit some home runs. It's kind of like the Reggie Jackson approach, you know, and that's a problem. That certainly could be a problem. Another, you know, issue when dealing with plans is that, you know, dealing with opportunities, the retirement plan business is really all about relationships and really about connections. But more importantly, it has to be the right relationships. Well, I was that, you know, young, innocent associate at Meyer Suozzi. I did a lot of small business networking with small businesses. You know, I finally realized when I started on my own practice, I did a little networking for a couple more months, and then I quit because I realized that the networking group, almost all of them were, you know, sole proprietors, and they didn't have money for retirement plans. So I was, you know, helping people out, but I wasn't getting anything back. And it was just not very rewarding. But it, you know, it did help me out in terms of public speaking and talking to people and whatnot. So there was some benefit to it, but all in all, in generating business, I didn't draw a dime of business. And to build a practice, a plan provider is going to need to find the pipeline of business, which, you know, effectively is that, you know, source of referrals. You know, when I started out in my own practice, I tried everything. You know, advisors, TPAs, great pipelines, accountant, and I realized accountants and attorneys not so much, but advisors and TPAs. You know, obviously the problem with pipelines is that it will not, you know, it will take time to drip, and it will drip very little. You know, there are many people over the years, you know, another plan provider, they tell me about this giant pipeline of business, such as, you know, networking with a payroll provider or association that provides access to thousands and thousands of plan sponsors. Pipelines are great, but you need a dose of reality. I had one client with a MEP, and you know, they insisted to me that they had this payroll provider that had 3,000 potential clients, and after a couple of years, they just got 3 clients out of that great relationship. Pipelines are great, but you know, plan providers really need to understand that the sales process is very, very long and tedious, And if you get 3,000 potential clients, you're not going to get 300. Maybe you'll get 30. Maybe a 20. I don't know. But, you know, opportunities are just opportunities. You know, that's always a problem. Next, the future of, you know, life after COVID. When I was a kid, you know, I remember, you know, it was an odd thing. I would go to high holiday services, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, in this synagogue down the block. It wasn't the usual synagogue that I had belonged to, but my parents, for some reason, didn't want to travel on the high holidays, so I'd go to this Orthodox synagogue down the street. They would have the book for the Machzor, it's called. It's a book for the high holidays. It's a special kind of prayer book. And it would say at the back of the book, the book was printed in the 50s or the 60s, it would have a list of when the high holidays would be at certain years. And the book, the list went on to, you know, past the 21st century. And when you're a kid in 1983 or 84, and you're thinking about life would be like as an adult, I never would have imagined as an adult living, you know, this past year in a semi-quarantine life where I couldn't go to travel, where I had to wear a mask to buy, you know, just the basic groceries. It's been, I wouldn't say it's a nightmare. It's been a challenge. You know, when you have relatives who survived the Holocaust, you know, living a life in this quarantine world really pales in comparison when you think of suffering. Thankfully, with COVID, you know, there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel with a vaccine that works. Hopefully one day I will get a vaccine. Right now I'm not on the list. And the thing with COVID is that, you know, eventually, you know, we will have herd immunity, you know, despite all the crazy people on Facebook. Most people will get vaccinated, and it will considerably cut down on the rate of infections, and it will be less of a threat. COVID is going to be like the flu. We're going to have to live with it. There'll be strains, mutations, and whatnot. We may have to follow up on our shots, but it will be managed, not like it was back in March and April in New York when the infection rate went through the roof. I believe that COVID is going to have a continued impact on the retirement plan business after it goes away. You know, one example, when I first started working in the late 90s and that, you know, first couple of years of the 21st century, the first decade maybe, most employees couldn't work from home. I know I couldn't work from home. I didn't have access to the network at work. I couldn't work at home if I wanted to. And I remember first starting out, you know, email access. There was no email access whatsoever. But what we've learned through this pandemic is that people can effectively work from home. We also learned that Zoom, Google Meets, Microsoft Teams are also an effective method of meeting clients, conducting enrollment meetings, and, you know, and hosting conferences like that 401k National Virtual Conference a couple weeks ago and the monthly 401k virtual conferences. I really believe the permanent effect of COVID is that many of these meetings will be moved permanently to those online meeting rooms. I believe that there will be a cutback in live enrollment meetings. TPAs, advisors are going to realize, you know, these Zoom meetings work. Travel time is cut down. There's no travel time. You can be more effective and better use of your time by still conducting these Zoom meetings. I mean, there'll be, you know, certainly clients that you want to meet in person and that may want to meet you in person. But I believe that a lot of plan providers still for the foreseeable future are going to cut back on the amount of travel. You know, one of the things I realized when I started working my own and I stopped traveling to Manhattan for work, you know, I realized how much time I had, how much more time I had by no longer traveling on the Long Island Railroad. You know, not only is it the railroad trip, which took 40-some-odd minutes, it was the wait time, driving to the train station, waiting the 10, 15 minutes. That 40-minute train ride, really, with the waiting time and all that stuff, was more like an hour and a half. I also realized, you know, by not traveling as much on Long Island Railroad, I got sick a lot less often. Whether it's air travel, car, or train, that's time that's lost. I think many plan providers are going to consider whether that trail, you know, that travel for sales and enrollments are really worth it, and you know, can be effectively a better opportunity through Zoom. I also believe that, you know, attendance at a lot of these mid-major 401k conferences will be curtailed as well. That's why, you know, that National Virtual Conference will be virtual again in 2022. I think it's really hard to ask, you know, 50, 75, 100 people, please spend a couple thousand bucks to some location, you know, which is going to be warm, and travel for an event. I think, you know, unless you're Napa, FI360, or these the Recon guys, which I think they're now Advisors 2X, outside of those events, I don't think that you're going to get a lot of or Schwab Impact, obviously. I don't think you're going to get as many bodies, as they say, to attend these big national meetings anymore. I really believe that it will be curtailed, and that's why I'm going to do a virtual event again. You know, and of course, as far as COVID, you know, we see at the light at the end of the tunnel. We're close to getting out. And, you know, I really believe that there's going to be a permanent effect and impact on the business. Of course, consolidation of the business has really been going on for the last couple of years. It really seems that every week there was a time where a TPA was being purchased by someone larger. Now it seems that the purchasing and the consolidation of this business is also on the RIA front. Consolidation of this business cuts down competition and cuts down the number of people employed in this business, because obviously when there's an integration, a merger, they are going to get rid of people that positions that they think are going to be redundant. Obviously some providers are going to get larger as a result, but there still may be opportunity for the plan providers that are smaller. I've seen with one of the big insurance companies, there are parts of the business that they no longer want to service because they're larger. Larger providers don't act as quickly and are quicker to cut certain lines of business if it's not, you know, as profitable as they want it to be, you know, because of their costs or their concerns of bringing more value to shareholders. When you're a private little TPA, you can be a little bit more nimble than the larger providers out there. So there is opportunity for the smaller providers. I don't believe the 401k plan business is going to be, you know, leading to just four or five TPAs. The small independent TPA still has a lot of opportunities. As far as the loss of jobs, it may open up opportunities for the smaller providers to hire people that were laid off just simply, you know, just simply because of, you know, consolidation. You know, I really believe that the whole point is that consolidation is going to create opportunity. As far as PEPs, you know, they obviously, you know, we're in 2021. They're supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's a great idea that was a long time coming, certainly since that Department of Labor advisory opinion in 2012. I really believe that PEPs are just going to be a really good niche, and it's going to be a solid situation for the limited plans where it will be a great fit. The reason why I think it's a niche is that most PEPs will fail. They will fail to get the traction they need in size and scope to deliver actual savings to employers that become part of one. So, you know, I really believe that a lot of plan sponsors are going to be wary of joining a PEP because of giving up control, as well as what I really think are limited cost savings that are going to be offered to them by joining a PEP. The best way to market a PEP really is the fiduciary delegation angle, because I think most PEPs are going to fail to deliver the cost savings because they're not going to achieve that critical mass size it needed to really effectuate savings. And, you know, retirement sales is a long and tedious process. It's going to take a long time for any PEP to be large enough to be successful. I think from the first couple of years, the most successful PEPs are going to be those that were MEPs that converted over to a PEP. The PEP isn't going to be a magic pill for your practice. You know, I think plan providers really need to avoid the temptation that they're going to, the temptation of cannibalizing their single employer business to properly serve the PEP market. Obviously, the Biden administration is going to have an effect. There's obviously going to be change to the retirement plan business through the DOL and through the IRS. Biden has that proposal of a tax credit for 401k plans. I don't think he's going to really push that for the time being, in the sense that I don't think that that's a proposal that will work very well. Most people who save in a 401k plan can afford it, and eliminating the deduction with some sort of phased out tax credit doesn't benefit them, and I don't think it will drive up as much interest for the lower paid people who can barely afford to keep ahead, to keep afloat. I really see a lot of problems. We will see some changes with the fiduciary rule, as well as the ESG investing rule. I imagine that is going to be repealed very, very quickly. Of course, politics plays so much a part of this. Politics is a very, very tricky business. Biden, 2 years from now, we're going to have less than 2 years already. We're going to have midterm elections. Republicans are likely to gain some seats, which means they may regain control of the Senate and the House. So, whatever Biden may have on his wish list of reform and changes in the 401k plan business, political realities are going to set in, and it's certainly going to impact what he will try to do as it pertains to our business. And last thing, when I started my practice in 2010, I was very, very vocal about some of the abuses I saw in the retirement plan business. And the abuses were really there because of lack of transparency. And in those days, if you were very critical of the retirement plan business, you were labeled a hater by, there was an industry back group. I forgot the guy's name. He's no longer in I think ARA might have taken them over. I forgot the organization, but anytime somebody would say something that was negative as it dealt with fee transparency, the guy didn't like it. I forgot the guy's name already. He's since retired or he's out of the business. I was very in favor of fee transparency. It really improved the business. Thanks to fee disclosure regulations, plan sponsors can know exactly what fees that they're paying, and they could really make an educated decision on whether those fees are reasonable or not. Fee transparency and technology have also helped lower fees, which have helped, 401k plan participants in paying less than fees. I've never changed the price of my plan document in the 22 years that I've been in practice. Why? Because it's so much easier now to draft a plan document than back in the old days. I mean, back in the old days, I'd have to use a software that would convert the document into Word that was so impossible to print out. Now I can do it on the internet. They email it to me. I no longer have to go to Staples and have it put together. It's simply emailed in a PDF, and the plan sponsor could just sign and send back. These are obviously some of the changes that technology has really helped the business out by helping providers become more productive, more nimble in their pricing. And of course, there have been changes in the law that have been very, very helpful. I believe automatic enrollment is one of the greatest adoptions. The adoption of automatic enrollment is one of the greatest pluses in the retirement plan business. And offering financial advice as well, educating plan participants. Enrollment meetings today are far better than the enrollment meetings, 20 years ago. So I really believe that we have improved so much in this business. The business is getting better, but you know, we shouldn't be resting on our laurels. There's always ways and opportunities that we can improve the experience for our clients and their plan participants. I don't know what that may be, but while this business is getting better, we shouldn't be complacent and say how wonderful we are. We always have that opportunity to improve what's going on in this retirement plan business. So that's it for this week's episode. Hope you enjoyed it and hope you come back next week. And of course, sign up that 401kpsych.com to sign up for that 401k National Virtual Conference for 2022. Thanks. Bye.